Speaking on this program is Bill Boyd.
Psalm 127, and I encourage you to get your Bibles and look at that. The King James Version has a title for this psalm. It's another one of those Psalm of Degrees. I don't think that we really do understand why those are Psalm of Degrees. But it does say a Psalm of Degrees for Solomon. And David being the one whom the Holy Spirit used to write these psalms, this psalm carries an authoritative tone. The Father talking to His Son. Coming from God, it also carries that same tone of authority of God. But when God speaks to us with authority, He's not talking like a despot. He's not speaking to us like an overbearing husband. He's not speaking to us like a drill sergeant expecting you to snap to. But of a loving Father that wants His children to understand this. So He speaks with us in that tone of authority. That's borne out in this psalm as you read this. It says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." Knowing David, he could almost be telling Solomon, "Solomon, you need to learn from the mistakes I have made." David made a lot of mistakes in his life. It almost sounds like a proverb. "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." You could almost fit that right in with the Proverbs and almost the rest of the psalm like a commentary on that proverb that he speaks there. Let's look at those words. The word "except." When you read the word "except" in the Bible, think in your mind, if and only if. Think of the other places that word "except" is used. John 3:3. "Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven." That's if and only if. Matthew 19:9. "I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and marry another, committeth adultery." If and only if. Luke 13:3. "Except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish." If and only if. And if and only if the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Now Solomon knew a lot about vanity. Solomon learned a lot about vanity perhaps because he didn't follow this advice. Solomon wrote the book on vanity in the Bible. In Ecclesiastes 1:2, Solomon said, "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." Vanity means that it's just useless. It's hopeless. It's fruitless. It is empty. And what's he talking about there? Well, he's talking about his life. He tried to build his life on things of this world, and he in his wisdom that God gave him, he used that wisdom to try to think, "I can build my life on worldly things. And why would such a wise man do such a foolish thing?" Well, he's like us. Didn't use the sense God gave him is what I believe. Solomon built a life on riches and power and pleasure and wisdom. And from a worldly measure, you might look at the life of Solomon and think, "My, what a great success." But as Solomon grew old, and he looked at his life, and he saw death approach, he asked the question, "How dieth the wise man?" And the answer is, "As a fool." And while these words are not exactly there in the book of Ecclesiastes, the teaching is there. How does the rich man die? Like a pauper. How does the mighty die? Like the weak. How does a man that has lived his life in pleasure die? Like a man with a life of misery. And so vanity of vanities, what profit is it for a man? If anything done under the sun, that's these earthly, worldly things done under the sun, what does it profit? It's those spiritual things above the sun that are important. And life is not to be measured by were you rich or poor? Or were you mighty or weak? Or was it even a happy life or a sad life? That's not the measure of life. What's the measure of life? The very last verse in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon tells us that God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be what? Whether it be good or evil. That's the measure of life. And the conclusion from the book of Ecclesiastes goes right back to what David's trying to teach him in Psalm 127 in verse 1. He said the conclusion of the whole matter, fear God and keep His commandments. That's what makes life worthwhile. That's what gives life meaning and purpose. But except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. Build it. That word labor. Labor. That means long, hard, wearisome work. It's described in verse 2. To rise up early. To sit up late. To eat the bread of sorrows. Now those of us in our lives, we spend part of our life in labor, don't we? I mean, we have to get up early, we have to work long and late, there's not enough hours, and even our meals are sort of tasteless because we just got so much on us and we're working so hard. And the lesson here is, if what you're working at is wrong, it doesn't matter how hard you work at it, it's still wrong. You might even think it's right, but if it's wrong, it's still going to be wrong. And so you build your life on the things that are wrong, no matter how well you do that or how hard you work at it, you'll never get over the fact that it's wrong. It's vain. It's not in keeping with what the Lord teaches us. Now contrast that to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now don't get the idea that the Psalm's teaching you don't have to work hard. Yeah, life, I'll tell you what, when man got driven out of the Garden of Eden, the Lord said, you'll earn your bread by the sweat of your face. Life's got a lot of hard work in it. Let's make sure we work it right. And we work for the right things. If we spend our lives working hard and long at the wrong things, it is vain. But if it's in keeping with the Lord's will, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You see the difference there? What's the house? Except the Lord build the house. I know this, that the temple is called the house of God. And I know David wanted to build that temple. But the Lord came to David and the prophet. And prophet Nathan told David, said, no, David, you don't need to do this. The Lord does not want you to build that house for Him. You let your son do that. And then Solomon did it. And we read about Solomon building that house and following the pattern that had been given him by David. And you know David himself was a prophet. And when Solomon built that house, he built it the way the Lord wanted it. And it says that the glory of the Lord filled that house. And it was so great, the priest couldn't even enter into the house for the glory of the Lord. What if the story had been different? What if David had said to Nathan, says, oh, Nathan, you know, I hear what you say, but I just really feel like I ought to do this. I mean, I just feel it in my heart, and I want to follow my heart here, and I'm going to build this house anyway. And David built that house his own way. You think God would have ever glorified that house? No, it'd been empty. It would have been vain. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. What about the church? How do we want to build up the church? Our own way? Let's just think of a way to build the church. Let's do some things. I'll tell you, we could probably hire some consultants that could survey how churches grow. And they could survey how people attract folks to ballparks and how do you advertise for concerts. And I know places that they'll even conduct surveys of the community and find out what the community wants. And then, you know, you can do that. And build up the church that way. Well, you build it up in numbers. Why don't we just let the Lord tell us how to build the church? Let's do it His way. What if we were able to build the church and have big contribution numbers and big crowds and big buildings and beautiful facilities, and it's just all our own way and we left the Lord out of it? Then we have labored in vain. If and only if the Lord build the house, we labor in vain. Jesus said, I will build my church. We need to build the church the way the Lord wants it built. Look at 1 Corinthians 3. Paul talks about building the church in a similar analogy. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, he says, we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given to me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. We just don't go out and build the church to please ourselves or build the church just any way we want to. The Lord's church. It's built the way the Lord wants it to be built. Except the Lord built the house, we labor in vain to build it. What about the city? Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. We've got examples of that in the Bible, don't we? Got the example of Daniel in Babylon. In Daniel chapter 5, Belshazzar felt secure. He was having a great feast and a great party. He was even drinking his alcohol from the vessels that they had taken from the temple in Jerusalem. And in the midst of this wild party, there was a hand that started writing on a wall. Meanie, meanie, tekel, upharsin. You've been weighed in the balances and found wanting. That's what the prophet told him it meant. This night the kingdom will be taken away from you. Babylon was a great city, had a great wall. They said you could, the historians tell us about that wall, you could run chariots side by side across the top of that wall. Well, fortified, defended wall, and to make sure they were in good shape, they even built it so that the river flowed under the wall, and they had their water supply from the river under the wall. Little did that proud king know that the enemy was outside the wall, and they dammed up the river and they marched through on the riverbed and entered that wall, and Belshazzar lost his kingdom that night. Except the Lord keep the city, they labor in vain that watch it. You know the story of the city of Nineveh in the book of Nahum. See if we can find Nahum. It's one of those minor prophets. Nahum chapter 1, verse 7 and 8 tells us how the city of Nineveh will fall. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him. But with an overwhelming flood He will make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue His enemies. He's talking about the city of Nineveh. If you look at the beginning, this is the burden of Nineveh. Oh, Nineveh was one of those great walled cities, and they felt very safe and secure in that city because they were walled and the enemy came up around the city to take that city, and they could not penetrate those walls. But those walls were overwhelmed with the flood. The river rose and washed out a portion of that wall, and the army marched through that gap in the wall that was formed by the flood, just like the prophet said. So they had these great walls, but except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh, but in vain. And then you know the story of Jerusalem. They built that wall around that city. They had the watchmen. They were ready for the armies of Israel. But they weren't ready for the priests and the Ark of the Covenant. What a strange thing they did. Bringing that ark and marching around that wall and not saying a thing. Time and time and day after day they did that. Until that one day they kept marching and kept marching and kept marching and kept marching and kept marching. And they stopped, and they turned and shouted, and the trumpets blew, and the walls came down, and the army had the city. The Lord gave it over into the hand of Joshua. Except the Lord keep the city, they are in vain that watch it. And I'm reminded of the city, the society, the culture, the nation. Proverbs 14:34. Where righteousness exalteth a nation, the sin is a reproach to any people. And I look at my country, and I see things, and I'm not a prophet, but I can see what the Bible says, and I know I see things which... What must God think? And I'm reminded of Proverbs 16 and verse 18. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. What about the home? Except the Lord build the home, they labor in vain that build it. You need to build your home on the teachings of God. You don't build a home on fornication and adultery and say that God builds that home. The Bible tells us how to treat each other in our home. It tells husbands how to treat their wives with honor. It tells wives how to respond to their husbands in a way that helps those husbands be strong. It tells parents how to raise their children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It says, children, obey your parents. And it tells all of us with living parents, honor thy father and thy mother. God tells us how to have a good home. It is a blessing. It is a joy to have that home. Now you try to build a home without the Lord. Build it your own way. Put your own rules up. Treat each other the way you want to act about it. And you want to do it. The very joys and blessings that God has in store for us of a home are going to be taken from us. It'll be a nightmare home. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And then he continues to talk about the home in this passage. Children are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. What a joy! But for a young man and a young lady to treat each other honorably and to come together before God and let God join them together and to be faithful to one another and treat each other the way the Bible says, and then children come into that home. Now that is joy. And so that's a blessing from the Lord. And look at verse 4. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of youth. You get those little children, that child you hold in your hands. Think about this. You ever done any archery? For just a little bit of time, just a small bit of time, you've got control of that arrow. I mean, you decide where you're going to put it on the string, and and you draw back and you know right where you're going to aim it. And then someday that's the time you let go and the arrow's off on its own. So much of what happens to that arrow is really determined by the time that you have it in your hands. Not everything, but most everything. A lot of influence on where that arrow is going to wind up depends on you. It's the children in the hands of a mighty man. That's your children. You've got them in your hands. What happens to that child is going to depend so much on what parents are going to do in the raising of that child in those early years when you've got them. And someday you'll let them go. And here they go. Well, they missed the mark. That's sin, missing the mark. You see that analogy? And pull that together with this. That's your children. Put that great emphasis on what those children need while they're children. Don't squander that. Because that's your chance. So is children in the hands of a mighty man. It says here, happy is a man that hath his quiver full of him. I knew a fellow lived down on the Tennessee River outside of Chattanooga. He thought he understood that. He thought that was the quiver that you have when you're trying to raise children. I tell you what, it's going to be one of the hardest jobs you'll ever have, is raising children. You look at other people have children, it looks like that's so much fun and so much joy, and then you get one, and wow, I never knew it was going to be this hard to do this. And I'll tell you, all the joys that you think are going to be there are going to be greater than you can imagine. But the work's going to be greater than you can imagine, too. You get through with a few children, you probably will quiver. All right? Now, that's not what this is talking about. But it's hard work raising children. The man that hath his quiver full of them says here, they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Just imagine that. Here's the old fella going down to the gate, and he's going to meet his enemies. They may be more of them. He may be outnumbered. They may be stronger than him. They've got some business to discuss. That's where the gate was. It's kind of like the courthouse. You're going down there. That's where you're going to take care of that business. But you know they're going to show him respect, and they're going to show him honor, and they're going to be careful how they deal with him, because that fella's got a lot of boys. And if you mess with him, his boys are coming after you. There's great strength there in having those children when you go down to meet with your enemies in the gate. There's great moral strength in the midst of controversy when you've raised good children. People see that. And the Lord talked about elders for His church. He said, having faithful children gives you a lot of credibility in the midst of those things that come up and how you make decisions and judgments and what happens. Raise those children up. You can have great strength and great influence. Certainly one of the great blessings we have as children and what we learn spiritually about how God treats us as we try to do right with our children. Little children, we sing the song, Vacation Bible School. Wise man built his house on the rock. You know the last verse? So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. Build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. Build your house. Oh, I hope my children, I hope you learn it. I see the little hands and the little lips and hear the little voices. And it's a fun little song, but the lesson in that song is so, so important. And those little children can get that little lesson then as they grow older. They'll carry that little tune in their heads. And if they forget the tune, there's a moral, godly thought there that we want them to carry with them through their lives. If they'll build their house on the Lord Jesus Christ. We do it as adults. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold the God's unchanging hand My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. Only lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. What are you doing in the building of your house, and in the building of your life, and in the building of your community, in the building of the church? Build our house on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blessings will come down.